This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about this game when we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we're joined by our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
How are you guys? That story is just, it makes your heart hurt. I was flying here to Charlotte. We're here for TNF tonight for the Panthers and the Bucks, and sitting there, and that popped up in my email or popped up on Twitter as I'm sitting there on the plane. You just go like, oh, like, I mean, you, I don't need to say something trite about, like, it's a reminder. It's not. It's just one of those things where, like, you wake up and, like, that's how that's what's going to happen today. It's like, it's the cherish every day thing. And I know, again, that sounds so corny, but you can't put yourself in their shoes. You just feel so sickened for it.
Yeah. We had back-to-back days like that here in Northeast Ohio with Fred McLeod, the passing of the Cavaliers play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
2 days in a row. So let's just, hope the sun shines on Cleveland today.
Yeah, I said that very uneloquently, but you get my point.
We know what you're saying.
Absolutely.
We get it.
Yeah.
Andrew, digest for me what you were able to see from the Browns game on Sunday and how this team moves forward.
So, obviously, I'm working on Sunday, and it's one of seven games that was on.
Right.
They get out to the early lead. You know, that first drive kind of almost reminded me of the drive against the Redskins in the preseason, although that one was much different circumstances and they moved the ball, I think, in only four plays down the field. But you just go, all right, this is it. This is what you've all been waiting for. Bam, they march down the field. The hype is real. Everything, like this entire offseason of being nervous and antsy that things are going to go poorly because that's how my brain works as opposed to other people's brains. Like, all of that is gone. They're good. They're fine. Let's move on. Don't worry about that game. I focus on the other six games. And then it started going downhill. Now, I don't have the volume. I'm just watching and screaming and doing my job with everything else. But you kept reading the lips of the official 15 yards, 15 yards, 15 yards. And then you see Myles Garrett throw what looked like a punch and Greg Robinson kick a guy in the face. And they're like, okay, well, this is officially bad coaching and losing of composure. I chose to only watch the first drive when I went home. I went home, I watched them march down the field, and I saw everyone's reaction in the stands, and I went, you know what? That's all I'm going to take from this game. Because I know that this is there. Like, they can do these things. And now I'm trying to do the opposite of being negative. I'm trying to spin it positively. But what then gets frustrating, and I'm a member of the media, but, you know, it becomes they were overhyped and this, and it's all about the hype and same old Browns, and that stuff is just lazy, low, to quote Mike Mayock, my old colleague, that's low-hanging fruit. It's lazy analysis, not to make it about the media here, because it isn't about the media, it's about how poorly they played. It's just that narrative already after week one, it's just, ugh, God, it's awful. And I tweeted out, I think, on Monday, the Browns didn't lose because they were overhyped. They lost because, A, they were undisciplined, and, B, because they people say they were arrogant. If there's any arrogance here, it's the arrogance thinking that offensive line would work.
It
didn't work.
Were you as stunned as I was, as I think most of us were, Andrew, that that's the way they came out after that opening drive? I mean, things happen in a football game, but that was the last thing I expected that team to do, to show a lack of composure, to play out of control with all those penalties, and for the coaching staff to have put them in a position where that kind of festered. And I don't know how the coaching staff did that, but obviously you've got to throw the coaches in there as well. It just stunned me.
Yeah, and I'm sure Freddie Kitchens would be the first to admit it. Everyone is to blame, including the coaches. He just said, I was watching the presser a couple of minutes ago here, that, you know, you don't teach penalties, the same stuff we've always heard. You don't teach losing your composure. But when Myles Garrett loses his composure. That's when you say, what is going on here? How does that happen? Not that the guy's some kind of robot that's not allowed to show emotions, but you get my point. And then it just spiraled. Let's say, regardless of the fact that I don't think Greg Robinson should have been the left tackle and that they have an issue at right guard, and let's cut the nonsense here. They have a bit of an issue at right tackle as well. When Greg Robinson gets ejected and then Kendall Lamb gets hurt, no team is going to play well when your right tackle has to play left tackle and a guard has to play right tackle. That is a losing situation, regardless of losing composure and regardless of the penalties and all that. No team wins that way. Dressing 7-0 linemen came back to bite you in the rear.
Yep.
Yet still, with all of that, it's a 15-13 game. What happens when you get close and you have the momentum and you know your defense is going to pin your ears back and go after the quarterback to try to get the ball back and take the lead? What happens? Well, most people will tell you, you try to catch the defense off guard, you screen them. Every one of their uncle knew a screen was coming there. Go get Derrick Henry. You gotta do better than that. You don't let Derrick Henry go 75 yards on a screen when a screen is the most obvious call after that kind of touchdown, momentum changer, and that situation.
Let's talk about Baker Mayfield for a second, because you sit here and you laid out exactly what happened to the offensive line. He did seem to have time, though, in the first half, but while things seemed to be fluid on the offensive line, just your assessment and what's your take on the three picks from the fourth quarter?
Well, we'd love to see them, run the ball a little bit more early, too. I'd say that.
Do you think that was a matter of just being able to bust out the new toys on holiday morning in December?
Sure, it worked on the first drive.
Yeah.
I would say, look, I'll take Freddie Kitchens' words. He pressed a little bit in the fourth quarter. It happens with young quarterbacks, even one that have great rookie seasons. It was still a winnable game late. And they pressed a little bit, and he probably, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he probably realized or expected the pocket to break down, with that makeshift offensive line. And let's give the Titans credit, guys. And I've been saying this all summer. This was not a check the box. I'm not surprised they lost. I'm surprised how they lost. But I'm not surprised they lost.
Agreed.
Tennessee's a 9-win team that had a top-10 defense. Let's say that again. They're a 9-win team with a top-10 defense. These were not the Miami Dolphins coming in there. I just didn't expect them to lose in Hugh Jackson-esque spectacular fashion like that.
Neither did I.
But again, it was 15-13 with, 2 minutes left in the third?
Yeah, you're right there. It got away from them fast.
Right. When it got to 15-13, you thought the game was over and they were going to win. Everyone did.
Right.
Okay. They're going to pick themselves back off the mat. They're going to win. And then you're going to sit here going, wow, there are a lot of mistakes to clean up. They somehow survived. On to the Jets. I already had that narrative in my head. I'll be honest, I let that game affect me more than I should have. The late games, I was just dead for those five late games on my show, just like dead man walking. It also might have been, sheer exhaustion from the first week back and the fact that I had hardly eaten, but I'll blame the Browns.
You better pay better attention to that.
That's what happens for climbing all those mountains all over the world.
That's exactly what you're doing.
It's payback, man. It's payback time.
But how about Sam Darnold with mono? And by the way, the one that no one's really talking about, Lev Bell is going to get an MRI today on his shoulder, which they think is only sore. So there's a chance, and no one's rooting for anyone to be hurt, but there's a chance it's Trevor Siemian and who is behind Lev Bell? Honestly, I don't even remember. And Ty Montgomery, okay. Quinnen Williams is banged up. C.J. Mosley is banged up. But I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Williams has his players sneak shanks or knives onto the field for this one.
Or watches.
Sharpened
watches.
Let me just ask this
revenge game
really quick. Knowing that the Jets are beat up like this, I hate saying this because it's against everything that I believe in. But is it a must win then on Monday night? All the cards are in place for a win.
Considering who's up next, I'd say yes, absolutely. Yeah, probably. But I will say this, and I said it last week, I think, seven of the 12 teams that made the playoffs last year lost week one last year. The other thing is this, there were two teams last season that made the playoffs after opening 0-2, the Texans and the Seahawks. So it's happened recently, but considering the opponent, this is kind of a you have to win. And same really, I'm going to plug tonight. I'm in Charlotte for TNF. Really for both of these teams as well. Bruce Arians has never opened 0-2. They think it's getting late early already for Jameis Winston after his horrible performance. And after this one, the Bucs go home and they get the Giants. That's the home. And after the Giants game, they don't play again at home until November.
Wow.
Which is absurd. I mean, they have a home game in London, but they will not play another game at Raymond James after next week until November.
At least the weather will be good.
What's that?
At least the weather will be good.
Yeah. No, tonight it's going to be brutal. It's going to be all-time high here today. I think it's going to be 95 when our show starts at 3 o'clock on the field.
Oh, dress cool, yeah. My friend. Dress
good luck,
cool.
Dude.
All right, Andrew, we got to roll.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Go Tribe. Bye.
Thank you. Andrew Siciliano, super friend of the show, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.